This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Wow, we had some great games last night. I tell you, on the basketball side, that Spurs-Thunder game, game one, Spurs win in Oklahoma City. Best game of the playoffs so far. It's got to be up there. Got to be up there. And you know what? Kind of a clean type game. It wasn't a lot of crazy flopping. So we'll talk about it. Also makes me just, again, realize how far away the Nuggets are, at least at this point, from a championship. So the Mount West and the Pac-12 got a settlement. What does it all mean? Kevin Lytle's going to join us to talk about it. The Rocks get the dub last night. We are 11 wins away from beard shaving time. The whole show starts now. Between the Spurs and the Thunder, and I know on the hockey side, I was on basketball last night, but the hockey side, there was a hell of a game too, and we'll talk about that in the top stories of the day. But for my focus and where I was, I'm watching this game just hoping it's a good game. Like, more than ever, desperately hoping to just see some good basketball, and we did. Double overtime. Spurs win in OKC, 122-115. That is significant because the Thunder haven't lost in the playoffs. Michael, they swept the Suns. They swept the Lakers. First game of the series, and they lose to the San Antonio Spurs. Spurs are good. And it's not just the Wimby show, although 41 points and 24 rebounds, three blocks. The guy was, I mean, he is called the alien because he's on another planet, Michael. This shot that he had, this was in the first overtime to make it 108-108. The Thunder thought they had it. They thought that, okay, now we've overtaken this. The Spurs aren't going to be able to answer. Victor Wembanyama decides to shoot it from Narnia with this play right here in OT.
Spurs got numbers hungry now behind the play. 5-on-4. Wemby's going to pull a deep three.
Oh, my goodness. A logo shot.
28-footer. Ties it at 108.
Tirico, you all right there, buddy? Reggie, everybody good? This game did. It did have everything. And in a night where, I mean, Shea led the Thunder in free throw attempts, but it wasn't crazy. He got to the line 9 times. He was 7 of 23. He had 24 points. I think, what did he have, 4 points at the half? It wasn't a great game by him. But I also thought a lot of the times he was getting fouled, it actually looked like fouls. I think Wimby traveled a couple times, though. How many steps do they get in the NBA? Definitely give them 3. They're definitely giving them 3. But it was still, like, this game, there were so many playmakers on the court last night. I mean, you start with the Spurs. Obviously, Wimby, sensational. Stephon Castle, listen, he had a lot of turnovers in that game. He had 11 turnovers, but he made a lot of other outstanding. Like, it doesn't, like, the stat line is deceiving. He was 1-for-6 from the 3-point line, 11 turnovers, but just had some big plays and big moments. And then how about Dylan Harper? Dylan Harper kind of becoming famous because of you know, all the memes and GIFs created from him, all the little, you know, side shots that they're giving of his face when Wimby does something crazy. But he went out and did stuff crazy on his own last night. The rookie got a start last night. 24 points for him. 11 rebounds. And the steals. Seven steals, Mike. He was playing like, the broadcast crew kept calling him Deion Sanders. I was thinking Deion Sanders, Champ Bailey. He looked like a defensive back or an Ed Reed, a free safety maniac. This was a hell of a game. Big Hub texting in. Winner of this game will win it all. Yeah, winner of this series, I think so. And I don't think it's I know there are a lot of people today saying, well, we just took the Spurs' best shot and still just lost in double overtime. I'm not looking at this. I don't know how the series is going to go. I mean, the Spurs get one on OKC, in OKC, so they get the home court advantage. But that doesn't really, I think this thing could go seven. I hope it does. I hope every game is like that. The NBA desperately needs this kind of a game. They this kind of a series. They need this one. And then they need the Eastern Conference finals to go well, too. And then, obviously, the finals, once we get there, you need battles. Cavs and Knicks tonight at 6 o'clock. The Knicks are a 7.5-point favorite at home. So I'll be tuning in for a little bit. My plan was to watch the Spurs-Thunder game until I got annoyed of it. And I didn't get annoyed. Not every basketball game this year. When I say the NBA has major problems, and they do, I don't mean that every single game is just gross, but there are just a lot of them, and a lot of those featured games, the games on primetime or whatever, getting the isolation, there's just a lot of those games where I rolled my eyes. I mean, this isn't even fun. But you give me that product? You give me that product? There was flopping. There was flopping. Happens a little bit. Wimby got one early. But I didn't see it to the point where I just thought guys were going for the flop. I thought SGA was going hard to the rim in the second half, especially in those overtimes, and some of the foul calls he was getting were actually foul calls. So you give me that, but man, it was Wimby sitting on the bench watching the, you know, they announced the MVP thing for Shea, and you could see Wimby on the bench just focus, not looking up, not looking over at Shea or anything like that. That guy wants the MVP. He's vocal about it. And I'll talk more about that a little bit later on, but that's a good team. It's a very, very good team. And the Thunder, of course, are a really good team. You know, getting Jalen Williams back, he had his moments in that game, 26 points for him, 11 of 25, 7 boards for him. Shea ended the night with 24 points. And then Alex Caruso. Alex Caruso. Dude, he's an annoying gnat when you're going against him. But when you're watching from the perspective that I watched from last night, and that's not really, I mean, yeah, I'm kind of rooting for the Spurs, but like I said, I'm rooting for good games. That's it. I'm rooting for the NBA to give me some hope. Alex Caruso, I hate to even call him a gnat because he was making so many key plays offensively, defensively. He is a Swiss Army knife. He's trying to body up Wimby because Chet Holmgren's not gonna guard him. Chet was terrible last night, just awful. That hit a couple of blocks, and man, he acted like he had just taken over the game. He had 8 points. He was 2 of 7. 8 boards for him. But you have Caruso trying to do what they did against Joker last year in that series. In the second round, where Caruso's going to play on the front, and he's going to try to front him. He's going to try to get his body on him. He's going to be pretty handsy. And then if that ball gets down to him, he's going to be digging, and hopefully he gets help. A couple times Wimby caught him on a spin move there. It's hard to say that Caruso did amazing against Wimby, who had 41 points, but I just thought Caruso had a lot of critical plays both defensively and offensively. Still, the Thunder lose. But Caruso, 31 points off the bench. It's a pretty good game. Now, when I watch the playoffs of, you know, like when I watch the Super Bowl, I watch Seattle, I watch New England, and I go, how far is Denver away from these teams? You know, so I'm doing the same thing. When I watch the Spurs and the Thunder, I say, how far are the Nuggets? Well, they've got the guys that the Nuggets want. I mean, there's players on that roster that were supposed to be these guys. You know, Christian Brown was Dylan Harper. Now, can Dylan Harper be that guy next year and the year after that. Keep in mind, Spurs are doing this without De'Aaron Fox playing in this game last night. So that's their starting point guard. So you have Castle bringing it down different times, Devin Vassell, different dudes handling the rock. Dylan Harper obviously got the start because they moved down. This team, these are the guys. You got Wimby, who's your joker. You know, that's the guy you're fixing this whole thing around, but you're having other guys step up and make big plays. Keldon Johnson coming off the bench with 13 points. I mean, that was important. And the Thunder, too. This was a great game. And you see how deep everybody is. And that, again, it's where we look at it. And the Nuggets, to stick up for David Adelman a bit, and maybe it's coaching, maybe it's not, they didn't have players against the Timberwolves that put up these nice performances to complement a 41-24 rebound night. They didn't have those guys. And Castle, even though he turned it over 11 times, he's handling the ball the whole time. Without De'Aaron Fox, they're asking him to handle the ball the whole time. So it's kind of something new to him. And it's still an inexperienced team. It's still a young team. They're still learning how to win in the playoffs, and they might have figured it out. I think this series is far from over, obviously, but you know, they always say the series doesn't start until the visiting team wins. Well, it started on game one then, because San Antonio got it done. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. How far away are the Nuggets today as we sit here without a move being made? I think they're I don't see how they can compete with either of these teams in a best of seven series. I don't see that today. Now, Denver had obviously in the regular season, late in the season, that Saturday when Denver beat San Antonio and Joker was coming up with big plays, and the Nuggets battled the Thunder, had great games with them throughout the regular season. Playoffs are just different. It's just different how it's coached. It's different how the bench plays. It's different how the starters play. A fully healthy Nuggets team? I'm asking the question. If Aaron Gordon and Peyton Watson are 100%, or as close to 100% as you can get, do the Nuggets have a chance against the Spurs and the Thunder? Based on the information that we have against the Timberwolves, Jamal Murray didn't play well. So is the trick to wear him out, chase him all over the damn place so he's using so much energy before he actually fires off a shot, containing Joker, not shutting him down, but containing Joker, is the book out on the Nuggets? So I'm answering the question. Fully healthy? Maybe you force a game six against the Spurs, and maybe you force a game six against the Thunder. You lose in six. And that, again, is me just trying to be as honest as I possibly can. And that's the question Josh Kroenke, David Adelman, Tenzer and Wallace, like they have to ask themselves that question. Because that's the first question you have to ask. Well, even if we were healthy, do we stand a chance against those two teams? And if your answer is yes, then you're sitting back down with Aaron Gordon and you're saying, what do we do? How do we keep you healthy in the regular season? Can we? I don't know. It's kind of magic involved. I don't know. Also, can we re-sign Peyton Watson? Does he want to come back? Can we get him for that $20 million, are we willing to go into the second apron? So if your answer is yes to that, then you're doing everything you can to keep Peyton Watson. If your answer is no, then you're moving on from somebody. And when I say, like I said yesterday, the somebody's on that team that you can actually move and get something for would start with Jamal Murray and probably finish with an Aaron Gordon. Outside of that, I don't see what you trade to actually bring in an impact starter to change the fate of this organization. 19 minutes after the hour. Before we break, I want to thank Lemons Heating and Cooling. It is cloudy and it's been rainy, but I'm telling you, it's May 19th. The warm days, the hot, gross, nasty days are ahead, And the last thing you want to do, I was working out in the yard a lot, even in the rain. But when it's hot, when it's in the 90s, when it's even in the 80s, when it's getting to triple digits, you know you're getting ready to get done. Go inside, get a nice glass of ice water, and sit down and enjoy your AC. Oh, you can't do that because it's not working right? You got to talk to Lemons Heating and Cooling. Give them a call at 970-567-0798 or check them out online at lemonsheatingandcooling.com. 20 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, Kevin Lytle will join us from the Coloradoan. The Mountain West and the Pac-12, are they putting aside their differences? We have a settlement on the horizon. Who does this help more? Which conference? And why now? Kevin Lytle will give us some details later on in the program. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We'll be right back.
Congratulations to Coach Bruce Dick on winning the Colorado High School Coaches Association 2026 Media Award. Hear Coach speak with Bruce Dick, weekdays at 10 on KFKA.
Ram fans, this is Ali Farokmanesh, your head men's basketball coach at Colorado State University, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Is this the anthem for the Mountain West in the Pac-12? I mean, in a day where we are talking about more and more the split from the NCAA as we know it, at least for the SEC and the Big Ten, all of us are saying it, Mike. It's not a taboo thing anymore. It's not a conspiracy theory. They're pissed. Even though they signed off on this, Michael. Jamie Pollard, did you get this one? Jamie Pollard, the Iowa State AD, I think puts it very well. Says, you know what? You want to leave? Go for it.
I mean, I said it 3 years ago. Let them break away. I would turn it around and say we should break away from them. Let them go. You know, but they have to go in all their sports. And see how fun it is to play baseball and softball and track when it's just the 20 of you, you know. And that's what I think we should do. But I'm one person, and you know, that's probably a little more draconian. But that's how I feel about it. Like, let's quit talking about it. Quit threatening. Go do it. But if you're going to do it, you don't get to just do it in football, and then keep all your other sports with us. No, take them all.
It's a good idea.
Well, I think you keep crying wolf, and enough of us are just like, fine, go. Go away. So you got all this happening. And does that mean the Mountain West and the Pac-12 were kind of like, we need to get this resolved because we got to put our best foot forward here, and if we're going to continue fighting, we can't focus on what we need to do for our conference. And I'll get more details from Kevin on that. But I guess I keep thinking that the Big Ten and the SEC breaking away creates their own little AFC and NFC thing. There's a lot that would stop that from happening too, right? If it's like, hey, then all of your other sports are screwed. So if you're the college, if you're one of these colleges in those two conferences, are you willing to let them walk and then they rent your facilities and all that at the risk of losing the rest of your teams? I don't know.
Yeah, and like right now, the ACC is very good at baseball. And the SEC has some powerful teams in it, but like you're only going to have so many teams to play because no one else wants to play you because they're tired of your crap.
If they're breaking away, they would be in separate worlds. They wouldn't be able to play in this. They'd have their CFP and then the rest of the college world would make their own thing up. And it's just which tier would win? The breakoff that's supposed to be the mini NFC, AFC, or what we still know and love is the college sports model. I guess I haven't really been thinking about it that much on that side of it, like how great it would be for the SEC and the Big Ten, or would it be? Would we still, would fans still go? Now, I don't know what this is over here. This is, are they college athletes or you can sign them to however long you want? There's no amount of money. There's no salary cap. There's no whatever. You guys just create your own mini NFL. Do we have the appetite for the mini NFL, or do we still like the fact that college is still the step down to ultimately get to the step up to the NFL? That's why it's one of the many reasons college is popular.
And if those two conferences decide that they want to break away and they want to play Texas, well, Texas is going to say, you're going to have to pay us a lot more because we're all united. All the other conferences are united against you. You wanna do a home and home? Okay, you pay $3 million, we pay $1 million.
Yeah, because there's going to be a lot of money that comes in with that travel too. You know, like Mark Johnson was on with us yesterday. If CU wants to get a ticket to that, whatever that dance is, if they do, I mean, think of the travel. The travel costs that it's going to take to play. I mean, I know they're already going all over the place now, but they'd be everywhere. So, Pollard says it, like, if you want to go, go. Stop threatening it. And the thing that pisses me off, because he even said it, the Iowa State Athletic Director, the four commissioners of the Power Four spent a lot of money creating the CSC, the College Sports Commission, that is supposed to regulate NIL deals. He says, the four commissioners spent a lot of money creating that. Then to have two of the conferences not want to adhere to it is perplexing to me. Because then, why did we spend the money? If you didn't want rules, then why did you create this? That's what's frustrating to me. The same people that say they want rules only want rules if they don't apply to them. I said it 3 years ago. Let them break away. They did create this. They signed off on it. But they didn't think, they thought like me, Mike. They thought the CSC was bogus. They're not going to be. Who are you to tell people that my money doesn't clear because it's not a legitimate NIL deal? Well, apparently they have a lot more legs to stand on than I thought. And I don't think the SEC or the Big Ten thought this through either. Because 75% of the $100 million that's being turned away or not clearing in NIL dollars is on the SEC and the Big Ten. They got to go back and tell little Billy, you know how we said you're getting $4 million? Yeah, you're only getting $1 million. And they got to tell a lot of little Billies that.
A lot of little Billies are going to say, I have a lawyer in my pocket who wants to take a look
they've at already
that
lost.
Unlimited money that you might have.
But they've already lost, Mike. They're already losing these. Nebraska took it to arbitration, these players did, and they lost. So these lawyers are going, ooh, I'm getting in on this. They're already losing.
But that still costs the university money.
It does. But what are these kids going to do? Keep fighting and just not play? Just not play sports? Not waste your time?
How about play sports somewhere else that's a little more open to helping you out with your NIL deal, making sure your NIL deal is a real deal?
Right. That's what. The SEC and the Big Ten are just throwing dollars out like they're freaking crazy, and they're not making them legitimate deals. They're just taking the money. Take the money. Take the money. Take the money. Oh, crap. He had to do something for that? Really? I mean, this is what's wild. Go Poke says if they didn't sign off on the House settlement, they knew they faced a huge legal exposure. But that's the thing, man. Like, you knew it was coming. You knew this was coming, or you didn't know this was coming. Listen, I didn't think it was going to work, the CSC, but I'm glad it is because I don't want there to be fake NIL deals out there that are just helping the rich get richer by promising players money, but they're not actually doing anything for that money. It's just essentially pay for play. And I don't know that the players can... It doesn't look like the players are going to be able to fight all these, to fight it off. Yeah, it might cost money to fight them all, but that's why they put the CSC in place, and it sounds like they got a lot of backing. They got a lot of backing from Congress.
If they want to do this, if they want to make it pay to play, they've got to have a different model.
Well, who do you mean they? They don't want to make it pay for play. The NCAA does not want to make it pay for play.
Yeah, so if the Big 10,
correct,
the SEC want to do this, they got to change the model.
That's why they would break away.
That's going to be messy for them.
That's why they would break away and make the mini NFL. That's what we've been talking about. That's exactly what they would be doing. But could they make it? Because what would it be? Semi-pro football? 32 minutes after the hour, Kevin Lytle going to join us next from the Colorado. What does this Pac-12 Mountain West settlement look like? He'll give us some details. Who benefits the most from this? And why now? Why the change? Why the change of heart? We'll get to that next. But first, the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally. Like growing up with a bank you can count on. Like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
Let's talk a little Mountain West and Pac-12 settlement here. Kevin Lytle joining us from the Colorado, and he is our CSU Rams insider. Also, certainly a guy in the know when it comes to all things Pac-12. Kevin, you wrote about it in the Coloradoan yesterday, but it would seem that the legal battle between the two conferences is coming to an end, at least we can hope.
Yeah, who doesn't love a lot of law talk in their sports?
Oh man, it's fun. That is college sports now, isn't it?
Sadly, that's kind of true, or very true. Yeah, this has been a very prolonged, and obviously it's still not done, but a very prolonged process, really starting when the Mountain West schools, including CSU, left or announced they would leave the Mountain West to join the rebuild of the Pac-12. Not long after that, of course, the Mountain West said, well, we have all these fees that you agreed to, so we're charging you this and blah, blah, blah. The will-be Pac-12 schools sued. The Pac-12 sued. It's super complicated, but it comes down to basically the Pac-12 and the departing schools thinking that some of the coaching penalties and scheduling agreement fees for if teams did end up leaving were basically unlawful, led to a lawsuit. It's about $150 million roughly in exit penalties and fees. That's kind of at stake here. It's dragged a long time. I believe these were first signed in lawsuits were first filed in like September 2024, I think it is. So it's been a long time. But yeah, both sides kind of a joint statement that they've reached a tentative agreement. That's why I say it's not done yet. But yeah, I think it means we're close to a solution, and I think both sides needed that. I think the timing is not coincidental that discovery was about to happen, and probably neither side really wants some of those things to become public. So there's a solution, but I guess both sides, I would imagine, will be able to claim a quote-unquote win. We won't really know what it looks like until those numbers come out, which I think should probably be early June.
All right, Kevin, how much can you tell us, or at least, think out loud when we're talking about discovery? And I mean, I'm seeing stuff all over online about, well, there was an email allegedly that Gloria Navarez did not want to get out there. There's a bunch of other stuff going on. How much money's really in the treasure chest? Talk to me a little bit about that, because it does seem like a crazy time. And then with all the other stuff going on with the NIL world, it just seems, like you said, it's not really a coincidence.
Yeah, I mean, it's expensive to do. So, I mean, obviously, if this had gone to court, both sides would risk, truly losing and being on the hook for, if it's the PAC and those schools on the hook to pay a boatload of money. If it's the Mountain West, their loss would basically be they don't get that money if the court ruled it in the PAC's favor. And obviously, it's just expensive to do this. You're paying both sides have pretty high-powered lawyers, which don't come cheap. So to drag it out even further, most people, everyone I've talked to said that you know, if it were to actually go a quarter, it would have gone into 2027. So that's a lot of money you're bleeding to then also risk, you know, potentially losing a lot more. So no, neither side wants that. Like I say, most likely both will be able to claim victory of some sort. It's probably, you know, there's a settlement, you know, kind of by definition somewhere in the middle. We'll see, you know, kind of how dramatically one way or another. But yeah, I think for a lot of reasons, logistically, financially, embarrassment-wise, probably for both sides, just good to get out. Everyone sign NDAs, cash the checks however they get cashed, and move on.
Are you hearing anything like, you know, there were certain emails that were going to come out? I mean, is that a I'm just seeing stuff online and I wanted to ask you about it.
There's so much nonsense on social media. You know, I'm seeing so many. Basically, everyone, of course, has their sides. You know, people, you know, fans from the schools that are departing or from the remaining Pac-12 schools, you know, say, oh, you know, super obvious win, blah, blah, blah. Basically on the same side, people from the Mountain West schools say, oh, super obvious win for the Mountain West, blah, blah, blah. I have no idea. I don't know how any of these people would know that there's a email that looks bad that, you know, they had to hide. Well, I say, I don't think it's a coincidence that this comes right before discovery, but I mean, I feel like there's probably stuff on both sides that they wouldn't want to get out because, this quite clearly became quite personal, amongst everything. And I've told the story about the flyby handshake between Gloria Navarez and Amy Parsons at their Arizona Bowl a couple years ago. Like it's not a secret that some good working relationships have become not so good working relationships.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Colorado. And like you said, to summarize, you know, the Mountain West, when the Pac-12 was going to reconfigure their conference and they were taking teams along with them, the Mountain West is like, hey, not only are there exit fees, but there's poaching penalties too. And like you mentioned, both here today on the show and in your article, to remind us all, the Mountain West was seeking roughly $150 million in both exit and I guess the poaching fees. And the Pac-12 fought back on that. And so we've had this battle going back and forth for a while. If you had to guess, if we're saying Mountain West was seeking roughly $150 million from the start, where do you think we settle?
I've seen some legal analysts say that this is a broad speaking, but that these settlements you tend to get 55 cents on the dollar, roughly. So that would be about 80 some million would be the settlement. But again, that's a total guesstimate, kind of just on historical, you know, how these settlements go. Obviously, again, this one has its own uniqueness, both in just how it all happened and again, the hurt feelings of it all, for lack of a better term. If it lands in that 80-ish, I think both sides probably claim success. The PAC says, look, we paid way less than, you know, we were supposed to be on the hook for. And the Mountain West says, look, you know, we built in these contracts and we got way more than if we hadn't. And, they had just left, you know, prior to those, you know, scheduling agreement fees and everything like that. But again, that's just a guess. I think if it's below that, the PAC certainly would be, singing celebration. If it's way above that, you know, the Mountain West probably trumpeting as a huge success. But hard to know.
I get the feeling from you that it's probably going to come down somewhere in the middle where, you know, both sides feel like they not fully won, because obviously the Pac-12 in a perfect world, they're not really paying anything. And the Mountain West is getting everything. But in this scenario, it's not a perfect world. The Pac-12 is going to have to pay something, at least in the exit fees. It might be one of those situations where both teams, it just comes out to be a normal situation where teams exit a conference and it's not really crazy money, but it's still money. Both teams might win, or both conferences.
Definitely. Yeah, I think that's where it's going to end up. It's not going, I don't think it's going to cripple either conference, and I don't think it's going to, you know, supercharge speed a conference from how, you know, big they want it or whatever. It just feels like, because again, with how kind of bitter it was, if it's not somewhere kind of reasonably in the middle, one side, I don't see how they would agree to it. So just logic. Again, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not paid like a lawyer. But logic says that it'll be somewhere, you know, in that middle ground.
Is some of this also both conferences extending kind of the olive branch? Like, hey, there's a lot of changes coming. And who knows? The SEC, the Big Ten, they might be gone soon. You and I have talked about this a lot. Are we better together getting this resolved now? That way we're not doing this for the next 2 to 3 years. We can put our fix our sights on what we need to do to make our conferences better and put us in the best position for whatever might happen and maybe even work together down the road again. Is there any thinking there going on between the two conferences?
Honestly, no, I don't think so. Again, I don't know for sure. I'm not in the room, but I doubt it. I think it's probably more just, I don't want to say selfish, but self-serving of, hey, it's going to hurt us to keep paying these fees to lawyers and going on and on and on. And it's hard to move forward. I mean, I've written this a lot. For CSU specifically, we don't totally know their finances because we don't know how much they're going to have to pay in extra fee.
Yeah.
And so if you're, you know, leadership, it's hard to budget for next year and the year after when you have no idea how much you're going to pay. So, no, honestly, I don't think it's any kumbaya. It's just the thing that makes most sense of both really need to start being able to move forward. And you can't move forward if you don't know what the heck you're paying.
Kevin Lytle joining us. Great stuff from you, man. You, for me, you helped me so much because you simplify things for me sometimes. You know, being able to just get on here on the show, talk to us, because I know you are following this stuff so closely. There are so many different things going on in the world of college sports. We saw Ross Dellinger's stuff yesterday about $100 million in NIL not being cleared and how 75% of that was the SEC and the Big Ten. And they're now allegedly pissed off about that. Even though they helped put the CSC in place, they're like, wait a second, we can't get our monies for fakesies and, you know, pull the wool over everybody's eyes. We might just go. What do you think of all this, man?
Yeah, everyone wants guardrails until the guardrails impact them. I think that's why we're seeing such a struggle right now. Everyone agrees that this is untenable. You can't keep up at this chaotic pace that we're going at in college sports. But then as soon as a program or a conference is, you know, kind of shackled by those guardrails, they say, whoa, 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 this is absurd. Who did this to us? And then look in the mirror. So I think that's why it's so tricky. And again, we've talked about this a lot, haven't we, Brady? This is why you need oversight. The NCAA is actually starting to do some things better. They're doing some things with foresight, but I think, you know, Pandora's box is definitely open. Because when it comes to the conferences to build things, they're going to build them. And then the second it restrains them, they're going to say, wow, this is really wrong and bad. We hate it.
it's wild.
Yeah, it's just a mess. And to be fair, like let's say you're an AD, your job is to serve your school, not the greater good of college athletics. So that's why they all fight back when they get shackled a little bit, because they want to win, because that's basically what their job is.
My goodness. It's the best soap opera around, man. Who needs television? I mean, we need television to watch the sports, but who needs actual shows, right?
It's totally crazy. I mean, no one knows where this is all going to land, because, you definitely feels right now like a two steps forward, three steps back situation. If there's some, I think, smart and useful things being put in, but then a lot of them get challenged really quickly, and then, you know, you kind of just go backwards a bit.
It's a lot of fun, Kevin. I'm sure you're having a blast.
Like I say, I was texting some folks yesterday with this back news, and I'm like, yeah, obviously it's not done, but I'll be happy when we can focus more on, you know, the league from a competitive standpoint rather than the leagues from a legal standpoint.
Some of it fascinates me. I really like the business of sports, Kevin, but I'm getting tired of reading article after article after article after article of a new idea put out there. And I'm not talking about you, but I'm talking about, you know, the breaking news that comes out where it's just like, now you got to read this 20-page thing of this new proposal from this conference, this athletic director. It's too much, man. It's too much for my little brain, but I appreciate you helping us out.
No, it's difficult right now, but like I say, I think soon we're going to, at least from the PAC standpoint, be able to just focus on the league moving forward as a competitive conference rather than a legal side of it. So that's going
to
be fun.
I look forward to it. Kevin, appreciate you, man. Great work as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me, Brady.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. Actually, we might talk to him later this week because I think we'll have a Thursday show. 11:51 the time, Michael. Let's take a quick break. We'll wrap up this hour. Avs trivia coming up. You want the $50 in Mr. Money Cash and a Big City Roadhouse $25 ticket? We're going to hook you up. Maybe we'll give you a shot, at least. That coming up next.
What is the Dirty 30?
Give me a head with hair. Long, beautiful hair.
The boys aren't shaving until the Rockies win 30. Hear Rockies games and talk on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
All right, Mike, we got to be quick. Here's your chance. You'll be one of five. You get a chance here, and we'll announce on Friday. I got $50 in Mr. Money Greeley cash. This pawn shop, man, is more than just a pawn shop. You can find anything there. $50 in Mr. Money cash, plus a $25 gift certificate to Big City Roadhouse. Here's the question. In 2022, who did the Colorado Avalanche defeat to win the Stanley Cup? I need the answer. Be the first caller, and you'll be registered to win the big prize. Who did the Colorado Avalanche beat in 2022 to win the Stanley Cup? First Advantage Hotline, 970-353-1310. Call now.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.